So let me talk about vision with you for just a moment before I kind of reveal the direction of our church, the theme of our church. These themes are nothing new. It's not a new revelation. It's part of the mandate God told the church to do, go and make disciples. These are things that God told us to do. So having a theme, having a vision helps us focus around something for that year. But I love talking about vision. Vision is powerful. We watched a video. We watched a vision, a part of a vision on that screen just a minute ago. Those were prayers that we prayed as a group of people that, Lord, help us reach our community. And we saw that, seeing the families represented. We are standing in a vision. We are sitting in a vision today. We are sitting in a vision today. Vision is powerful. Let me ask you something. Do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a vision? What is it? Sight is what you see when your eyes are open. Vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. A vision is what God gives you in your heart for you to hold on to. And I want to talk about a few minutes about vision. I'm going to go kind of fast. I'm going to write this down and then reveal where God is leading us as a church this year. I love Habakkuk chapter 2. It says this, I will stand my watch and set myself on the tower. It should be on the screen coming up, and or the rampart, which is a tower, and watch to see what God will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. He's already expecting to be corrected. Let me just say this, because sometimes our vision is really not God's vision. Because I'm not talking about a picture you put on a board, and that may not be what God wants for your life. This is different. This is a vision from the Lord. So he says, I'm already expected to be corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain. Everybody say, write it down. Make it plain so that he reads it may run. He may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. We already had a prophetic word this morning, but I'll come back to it. And it said to wait on it. Yeah, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're watching online and you're seeing the testimonies and you're watching all these things that's happening. And maybe you're in your heart saying, but when is God going to do it for me? Listen, wait for it. It's going to happen. Wait, you got to stick around. You got to stick around long enough to see it happen. It's not, you know, it's not a microwave. God doesn't have a microwave mentality. He's in the marinating anyway. Amen. And so it's something that he says, wait on it, though it tarries. It will surely come. It will surely come in Jesus' name. You want to keep playing for a minute? Can you? Amen. Because I'm not going to be long here today. Let me give you a couple things about vision. I love vision. That's my thing. I love to talk about vision. I'm standing here today because of a vision God gave me personally as my personal vision. So this is something that I want you to take personally, but also as a pastor of our church, yeah, it's something corporately we're going to get behind. Started these Vision Sundays in 2019. God gave us the first one, and it was arise, just the word arise. How many know one word can change your life? How many know one prayer can change your life? Jeremy's a witness of that in his son Dylan prayed. One prayer can change your life. You just need one word from the Lord. Some of you, God's already given you that word. It's consistency. It's accountability. It's humility. It's more obedient this year. It's one word that God is saying, hey, I want you to talk about. I love vision, though, but it's a personal thing for me to get a vision of my life of where God wanted me to go in my life. Being busted and discussed and in and out of the legal system and being in jail. I'll just be honest with you. That's where I came from many times, praying, God, get me out of this. I didn't like it. I didn't want to start off that way. I had jobs. I was, you know, just going through these different seasons of my life and just couldn't get it right. God, when are you going to do something? How am I going to turn this around? And God began to give me a vision. The first thing I want you to write down is visions are pursued. Visions are pursued. I want you to get this. Visions just don't pop out of the air and drop into your heart. This man said, I will set myself and I will seek God to find out what God has for me. You got to be intentional to get a vision from God. It's not a copy and paste of what we see somebody else do. This prophet says, this is what I'm going to do, is I'm going to set myself up. This is something you need to do. This is February 2nd of a new year. What's your vision? I'm not talking about just some goals financially or books you want to read or places you want to go. I'm talking about a vision for your life. What does God want you on the, what has he got you on this planet for? Why did he save you from a car accident? Why did he save you from a dark season of depression? Why did he save you? Some of you never did drugs or alcohol or any of that. You were just wrapped up in a cycle of work and money and more. And God opened your eyes to that, and now you know it. Money is a blessing, but it's a tool, but Jesus is our real source. And now you're like, what do I do, God? You need a vision. You got to seek him for that vision. He said, I will set myself, and I will wait until God will speak to me. This just don't happen. When I begin to pray that prayer and begin personally say, God, I need to get a change in my life. And I had, he will answer. How many know God will answer that? One of the first answers I got was from a police officer, Officer Copeland, who later became the chief of police in E-Corps. So he spoke to me, took me to the side one night, and he said, Eddie, what you doing running around these streets like this, boy? He grabbed me by my shirt because I had a smart mouth. And I thank God for men like that. And he got in my face and he put me up against the wall and he says, you are better than this. He said, what is it gonna take for you to wake up? He said, God has got a call on your life and he's got a purpose, because I should have got shot and killed that night. It was an awful night. I'm not gonna get into it. And he's looking at me, a police officer in the hallway, and he's saying, if you would just trust God and surrender your life to God, you'll see everything will begin to fall. This police officer is saying this to me. I'm thinking, well, I'm suing you. Because I was so hard-headed, even an experience like that. He later, when I got saved and God set me free, number one, he was right. It's 26 years later, and I've been set free from drugs and alcohol, living clean and loving it. And God's opened up a door for me to be the chaplain officer here in Van Buren. You know what I say to people that are, I just said it to a young guy, just down and out on drugs, looking at him, and I begin to prophesy to him, say the same thing to him that people used to try to tell me, that if you just turn your life over to Jesus, man, it's better. He's gonna turn your life around. And I went and did a funeral not too long ago, and he was there, Officer Copeland. And he says two things. He says, since you've been gone, Eddie, the streets are so quiet. He did. Second thing is he said, I knew it all along. I was just praying that you would see it. And I want you to know that God knows it all along right now for you and I. He's just wanting us to see it. That's what a vision is. But you got to get it from God. You got to see it from God. I love the story of the first Native American to win a gold medal, Jim Thorpe. If you ever read that story, he's a phenomenal athlete. He was one of the first guys that could punt a football from one end zone to the other end zone. He was an amazing athlete, strong. He won two gold medals. And this story goes with him when this was early in the 1900s. It's been a while since, it was a long time ago, but they were going overseas to compete. The Olympics team was, and the decks were full of athletes training. And the story says that Jim Thorpe just sat on the deck with his eyes closed, reclining. And the coach walked up to him and said, what are you doing, Jim? And he just opened one eye and he smiled. And he said, I'm watching myself win the decathlon. He went on to win and got a gold medal, because that is what a vision is. What do you see yourself going this year? Where do you see yourself going spiritually? What can you close your eyes and say, I can see that happening? When I begin to see myself in church, lifting my hands, standing next to my wife and my family, and bringing my daughters, I first saw that in my life and in my eyes and in my heart. God was giving me that vision, and it began to get fulfilled. All the way through my life, being a youth pastor, I could tell you so many stories. I went to our district youth director and said, okay, I'm a youth pastor. I've never been a youth pastor before. You know, we started the church and I was 30 years old. So they said, you're young. Melinda's 26. They said, you guys are youth pastors. She said, okay. I said, no way. But we ended up being youth pastors and God did amazing things. And I went to our youth director and at the time and I said, man, what do I do? I was talking strategy. He shut the book. He said, you got one job. Get in a prayer closet and don't come out until God gives you a vision for your ministry. I said, okay. He gave me the vision Disciples of Christ, DOC. We put that up on the barn. It says DOC. I was so excited until one brother in the church said, yeah, I figured, Eddie, you'd have Department of Corrections on your building. Because here's another thing. Not everybody's going to see and get your vision. God blessed that youth ministry. We had over 100 kids. We had a drama team that ended up performing dramas in schools and colleges, went to Honduras, ministered in front of thousands of people, preached in front of 3,000 kids into high school, did our drama team right in a public school and just saw people get saved. So God, you never know what God can do through that vision that he gives you. Second thing I want you to write down is visions also take patience. He said, wait for it. He said, wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. I can't tell you how long my mom and dad waited for me to get saved. I can't tell you how long we waited for the church to grow and how long we waited and waited that God would do something. And I remember when the church began to just really take off and we saw great things. We went to multiple services over on Savage Road. We were just talking about this at the staff meeting the other night, just reminiscing about those days, how God got us started. I remember we had a room upstairs, one of those little tiny rooms we had open for a break room for those that are working and serving could go in that break room between services, because we ask if you go to two services, and when we go to two services, we're going to do this here. We're going to ask that you serve one and attend one, right, so you can get refreshed yourself. And I remember being up in that room, and I looked out those windows and had a window we had over there on Savage Road. You had a driveway for enter and you had a driveway for exit. And I'll never forget seeing the cars lined up, leaving one service and lined up to come in that next service. Though it tarry, wait for it. Well, I'm wanting my marriage to turn around. I'm wanting that kid to come home. That kid is so far from God. Pastor Eddie, I hear your story, but man, my kid is really gone. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, though it tarry, wait for it. Don't give up. What do you do while you wait? You worship while you wait, but let me give you this. Write it down. You write it out while you wait. If you don't write down your vision, it's just in a wish list. It's just an imagination. The prophet said, write it down and make it plain. If you're single, you need to write down what you want God to bring into your life. Have his height, his color, complexion. I mean, I don't care. Go all the way out, Lord. God can do that. Some of y'all's like, about time. Something I can write down. I wrote down 5 things when I became pastor. Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want. I'm finished my Bible school. I want to get ordained, all the way to ordained. And I was just in my first level of credentialing. I want this, I want that. And I showed it with Pastor Steve here about a couple months ago. Every single one of them happened. And some of you, all of them has happened for you too. So what do? Get another vision. Oh, though they tarry. Last thing, visions give purpose. This is why it's so important to have a vision. Visions give you purpose. I love Proverbs 29. It says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. So I love the New Living. It says, without vision, the people run wild. Without a vision, listen, without a focus, something to focus in. You call them goals, but when they come from God, they're a vision. So I'm going to talk about goals that your coworkers are doing. Goals are good. But I would say, don't be goal-oriented. Don't just have a goal mindset. Have a growth mindset. But back to the vision. A vision is something God gives you. And when God gives you, it can be just one word. Maybe it's consistency. Maybe it's baptism. He said, God wants you to get baptized. Make it a goal. When you have a goal, you have something to focus on. People will give up restraint. That means you cast off. You just go anywhere you want. Vision for your future will give you power for your present. Oh, I love that. Having a vision for your future gives you power for today. Dad, we'd have some awesome revivals and this church was starting to grow and we would do the accordion thing. You'd grow, you'd lose people. And I remember Dad would tell us, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And sure enough, we watched that church begin to grow and begin to take off. But I would hold on to those words. You got to hold on to those words. And the theme, what I want to start closing, this is what God, I got to get to the end here. This is what God has given us as a church. We've had Arise. We've had a year of prayer. Last year was the year of the Spirit. And this is what God told me to tell us today for us to focus around. The theme is going to be go and tell. I want us to focus as a church around evangelism this year. The scripture is Mark 16, where Jesus says to his followers, go everywhere. It's on the back of these shirts. In the world and tell the good news to everyone. Go and tell. And I looked up over at Acts chapter 1 because I said, where is that everywhere? It's everywhere, like going to missions, because we're going to South Africa here in a few months and we're going to build a tabernacle. It's going to be amazing and we're going to go to missions trips. We got missions trips that we're praying about. In fact, the guy that is over the ministry that builds those steel buildings will be with us in the last week of March, in the month of March. Pastor Jimmy, Tyler's former youth pastor. He now is over that whole ministry. You guys will be able to meet him. He's a great guy. Building these tabernacles all over the world. But we do that. So I said, God, where is everywhere? And he gave me Acts 1:8. I don't know if this is on the screen, but this is what Jesus said. This is what we're going to look at for the month of February. He said, I want you to go into Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. And I begin to meditate on that. And first off, he said, I want you to start in Jerusalem. What's Jerusalem? Jerusalem is our home. How many know that God wants your home saved? What good is it that we see miracles in here, but we go home to a house that is absent from the presence of the Lord? That's not going to happen this year. We're going to get a vision for our homes, for our families, for our houses. That's our Jerusalem. God said, Jesus said, it must start at your Jerusalem. So next Sunday, we're going to preach about that. Go and tell. How do you get your family saved? God wants our families in the house of God worshiping. And he does it through us. And then he says, Judea. Judea is our community. God has given us an opportunity as a church, not just to be a building that people drive by and go, oh, that's nice. They put the flags out yet? God says we're here to be a light in a city on a hill to reach our community. And in Samaria, that's that area that we avoid. Those people that we like to avoid, Jesus said, I need you to go and tell them. And we're going to talk about that. And then the last week will be the beginning of our month of March, the global perspective, that is to go into all the world and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. This isn't a shirt. This is a mission statement that God is telling us to do as a church. Go and tell. I'm starting that evangelism class this Wednesday night. And if you're not able to make this time, I'm teaching it again in our summer life groups. We will have this in our church, in our DNA, to be soul winners, to be people that are committed to go and tell. So there's where we're going to go as a church. I want us to all stand right now. I'm going to close this out. I feel like I've been to a couple church services. There is so much happening today. I hope your head's not spinning like mine. We got growth track tonight. Get to meet some awesome people. Some of you new to the church and coming tonight at 6:00. It's the beginning of another year. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Ennis. What is God going to do this year? That's what God wants to do with our church, but I want to bring it back to you personally. What is your personal vision? What does God want for your life today? This year? What does he want for your life this year? Some of you, I think it's to rekindle some fires that you let go out. You know everything I've been preaching to you. You know all of this. Some of you just kind of lost that fervor and those white, hot flames and coals have become dull. God, the vision for you is reignite. It's refresh, restart. I don't know. So many different words the Lord is speaking to our hearts right now. Will you do me a favor right now and just close your eyes and just lift your hands like this to the Lord? This is a posture of surrender. And let's pray for vision right now. Let's pray for vision all over this place. Those of you that are joining us at home, we got family watching. You talk about family being saved. We got my in-laws are watching, Don and Ellen and Todd. I know you're there, and Thomas and whoever else may be there. God's got a vision for your life this year. He's got a vision for all of us today. We just got to ask him. We got to pursue it. So go ahead, ask God. Speak to my. Say, God, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart. I want a vision from you. What do you want me to do this year? A vision for my business, a vision for my family, Come on, go ahead and pray that to the Lord right now. Jesus, Jesus. My relationships, what is it, God? We stand here today, God, under Habakkuk, Lord, that mighty prophet. And God, you told him, which is telling us, to write it down and make it plain. We ask you tonight, this morning, Lord, that you would give us fresh vision for this fresh year. Speak to us, Lord. It may come right now. It may come tomorrow morning. It may come a week from now, but we're going to wait until you give us the vision, and then we're going to wait until it comes to pass. How many people are here saying, I'm that type. I'm going to hold on until I see it happen. How many people we got here willing to wait for the Lord? God, give us strength, oh Lord, to wait and watch you work. Jesus. Speak to our heart, Lord. Speak to our heart, Lord Jesus. We got a song we can sing. We end this today. Let's just worship together. Come on, come on. Stay in that attitude of prayer and worship. To our soul, God.
Blessing and breaking.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.